Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
There is incredible need for people with pure hearts to see the world. Everybody say, see the world. To touch the world. To save the world. I love it when Jesus goes, baby, I didn't come to condemn you. I came that you might be saved. How many people on behalf of God could we save if we dealt with the prejudice in our heart? How many of you know that God on purpose has put people in your life that are not like you, that are a lot different from you, to help you become who he's called you to be, and yet you're offended or you are prejudiced against them? Last night, one of our cars has been worked on, so we were sharing cars, so I was waiting for the men's thing to start. Sonny had come into the prophetic class, and so I went in to get a salad at Ricky's. That's right here. And when I walked into Ricky's, I was very comfortable because I grew up in the inner city of Atlanta. It was packed, and I was the only Caucasian inside. And there was one seat. And they were looking at me in sort of, what are you doing here? And every time they would look at me, and what are you doing here? I would feel in my heart, it's because you need me to be here. So I sat down between two ladies, and one of them said, well, what time's the Dolphins game going to start? Are the Dolphins playing? I need to know, are the Dolphins playing? I went on my phone, and I said, ladies. And they went, yeah. I says, tonight, 7 o'clock. Here, excuse me for eavesdropping. Okay, I had them the rest of the night. That was no good. It was, they wanted somebody that didn't judge them, that just loved them. You think your judgment is going to change somebody? There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh instead of out of the Spirit. To be honest, prejudice, my uncle would say, is probably going to send more people to hell than any other sin. Here was this incredible that you see here. These people didn't like each other at all. And you can see it from the story of the Good Samaritan. When all the Jews walking by, they would go to the other side of the street with a guy that's dying on the street because he was a Samaritan. I mean, because the man was hurt. He wasn't a Samaritan. The hero of the story, Jesus, was so he was so crafty. He made the people they were all prejudiced against the hero of the story. And so we see this perfect love begins to come out, and Satan hates that because perfect love casts out all fear. How many of you know there's a lot of fear in our world right now? It's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear. How many of you got some friends that are almost in lockdown because of fear? Well, I just tell you in the name of Jesus, the perfect love that's in you from a perfect heart can set them free in Jesus' name. And it can start by first setting you free. Because you can't argue with somebody's testimony. It happened to them. We're not doing a theological discussion. Worshippers who worship, you heard him say it, worship in spirit and in truth, which means they worship, I need you to get this down, they worship with their heart and mind. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The heart has got to be full of his spirit. Your emotions are his emotions. Your ideas are his ideas. It's like this dance you perfect. Everybody just put your hand on your heart and say, God, today, heart surgery. I want my heart to get better and better and purer and purer. When I tell you there is no defense against someone with a pure heart. I remember the story, buddy, of Smith Wigglesworth, who was just, I think he was a plumber, an electrician, plumber. And he told his wife, I'll beat you if you go to church. And it was way up north, and it was freezing in winter, and she went to church. And when she came back, he had locked her out. And she slept the night outside in a winter way up north on the sidewalk outside of the house. And in the morning, Sandy, this woman with a pure heart was laying there on the sidewalk. And Smith opens the door and she says, oh, good morning. And she goes in and cooks him breakfast. That might be one of the purest hearts I've ever seen. Within a matter of days, he has this incredible encounter with the Lord and became one of the greatest men of God in the world. Raise people from the dead. Go into a funeral home. Grab somebody by the collar. Jerk him up out. If you think you're a man of God, just go ahead and try that this afternoon. Go in there, grab that thing, and pulled him out of the coffin and slammed him against the wall and said, in the name of Jesus, get up. Now, this is fact. There's a bunch of people there. This is not just some story. But had his wife not had the pure heart, the world would have never got a hold of Smith Wigglesworth. Here we go. In the movie The Kingdom of God, Lehman Williams, he's trying to teach Orlando Bloom what the kingdom of God's about there in Jerusalem. And he was talking about all of this war about, some people say we're supposed to worship here, some people are supposed to worship here, because in the movie The Kingdom of God, the Muslims are involved. And Liam says, let me teach you about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here and here. They that worship him must worship him. Everybody do this in spirit and in truth. Let's do it again. Spirit and in truth. Why would you ever do anything if you have a check in here about something? You bypass that. Anybody ever got good results of going against your spirit? Or like me, it's a price to pay. So we worship him in spirit, but in truth. The woman at the well says, when Messiah comes, he'll clear everything up. And he goes, guess what? I am he. And I'm here today for you. Now, here's what I want you to hear, and I want you to get this principle down. The enemy doesn't mind you doing any good thing as long as you put it off to the future. Right? Yeah, I'll change. I'll do better. When? Now. Right now. I want you to say, I want Jesus to show up today for me. And I want him to say, I am he. What are you worried about? Do you see this woman that starts screaming? She has nothing. Married five times, the guy that's her fifth husband won't give her a divorce because he's like, she's a possession. He owns her. She's trapped. How many people out there do you think feel trapped? And all they need is somebody from Hope United with a pure heart. A pure heart. I loved the message last night when he goes, no more excuses. That was the name of the message last night. No more excuses. Pure hearts don't have excuses. They just do the will of God. Okay. So we see that if you saw right there, he said, well, the first husband you were with, you were pure, and you were this incredible person, and then you met him, and he was a bad man, unequally yoked. When that happens, there becomes a loss of identity and value. And it happens to both male and female. How many people do we see every day in the world? They've lost their value. They've lost their identity. They've lost their self-worth. But when you have a pure heart, raise your hand and say, God, I want to see me the way you see me. Let's say that. God, I want to see me the way you see me. Because I'm telling you something, it's going to blow your mind when you realize how he sees you. Because you realize the first person Jesus reveals himself to as Messiah is a woman that's been married five times and now is living with somebody else and is prejudicially his enemy. Proverbs 4:23 says it like this. Keep your heart with all diligence. Protect it. Keep it. For out of it springs the issues of life. That word issues means the flow of life. How many of you know what it's like when you get in the flow? There's something about right. Pastor Josh, there's something about a band when they get in the groove, right? And it's just, all the music just floats together. Or when I used to play basketball, there's some nights when I would get up there and I would start to, oh my God, I knew it was going in before it left my hand. I was in the groove. Now, other nights, there would be problems. There was, okay. The woman at the well had sabotaged the good things in her life. There was only places for three things: disappointment, rejection, and fear. Jesus said here, and I want you to make sure you get it to you. He says, she said, why are you here? Don't you have other places to be? And he said, I came here just for you. Can I tell you that's happened to you this morning? He came here this morning just for you. Just for you. You believe that? You believe that if there was nobody else in the world, he'd still died on the cross just for you. That's how pure his heart. People couldn't stand to look into the eyes of Jesus. His eyes were piercing because The eyes are the window of the soul. They're the eyes that here you're down here, and this heart that's full of Him is coming out through here. Jesus came to meet you. The principle is the Messiah doesn't reject you. He loves you. He just despises the sin that will destroy you. How many moms and dads we got in the room right now? Come on. I know you hate the things that could destroy your kids. Right? They don't know the danger of it. You know the danger of it because of the tenure that you had on earth. But why would you not want to say, don't do that? God's not trying to keep your kids or you from fun. He's just trying to protect you from what would destroy you. Come see a man. Matthew 5:8. Out of the Amplified Version says it like this. Blessed, which means anticipating God's presence and being spiritually mature. That blessing is automatic when you do that. You don't have to pray to be blessed. Just do that. And blessing follows. It says, because the pure in heart, those with three things, integrity, moral courage, and godly character, will see God. A lot of people go, man, I want to see Him. I want to see Him. Well, I will tell you how there's a way to see Him. Number one, the reason worship is starting to just explode at this church. Every chance, and God have mercy if a praise night comes up. We might need to get a few, you know, paramedics outside and IVs and stuff. Because I'm telling you something, this place tears it down. But what has happened? Because we come anticipating and expecting the presence of God. We're not surprised by it. We'd be surprised if it wasn't here. See, the pure in heart, they can't wait. They're blessed because they anticipate God's presence. Prophetic is, mature people get blessed and are good stewards of the blessing, so they receive more. Parable of the talents. He takes the one, the guy that only had one, and gives it to the guy that has 10. Immature people are distracted by the blessing and lose focus. Why would God bless you if it would cause you to miss church? I had people call me up and say, Bishop, would you pray for me? I'm trying to get this second place, this pretty little place that we could get off and spend a little time. Would you pray that I get it? And I said, okay. And so I prayed, and they got it. Now, where do you think they are on Sunday? I'm serious. So why do you think God, who knows everything that, from the Alpha, Omega, from the beginning to the end, why would God bless you if He knows it would take you away from what God called you to do? What would be in your heart if you got incredibly blessed? Moral courage is the ability to do what's right in the face of popular opposition and discouragement. Guess who texted me last night during the men's meeting? Dr. Pepe Rama. You know, who was like Miles Monroe's right-hand guy here. And I mean, he's a medical doctor, and he's a brilliant man. He said, Bishop, it's so good to see you again. And then one of his men was here. God, it was such a great meeting last night and the night before. It was, God is doing something with the men in this place, and it's sovereign. It's just sovereign. And he said, he's doing a series from a medical standpoint on abortion. He's speaking about government, as Miles Monroe always did. And I would just simply say, guys, we can't be afraid. It doesn't mean you have to Because you believe something different from somebody else doesn't make you enemies. That maturity is, I hear you. You hear me. Now I know where you stand. You know where I stand. We're good. Okay. All right. Godly character is defined as the ability to discern. Everybody put your hand right here and say, God, give me the greatest discernment I've ever had. Because if you don't have discernment, you're going to go through things that's going to beat up your heart. So many people today, I talk to them, and God help me if I use the word trust. Because trust has been violated so many times in their life, it's hard for them to ever get behind saying that word. Why would I trust anybody? I've been let down so many times. That's why it says you have to guard your heart because all issues flow out of it. I love this. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I already said that principle. This pure wholeheartedness fits us for God himself. Now, a lot of people have a relationship problem with God because they, quite honestly, they don't fit with his agenda and they don't fit with his direction. I said first service. I'm going to change it, Pastor Josh. I'm going to say it's like an Android God trying to deal with Apple people. Dom, much better? Dom was right back there, Pastor Josh, telling me 70% of the people in the world are Android. We are the few. Okay. What I'm saying is, if you don't have the pure heart, you don't connect. You don't connect. It's like you trying to use an Android charger on an Apple phone. You don't connect, so you can't get power. They don't talk to each other. Certain apps don't work on one, work on another. I'm just telling you something. I want to be completely compatible with God. And if I'm going to be compatible with God, it's going to be because I have a pure heart. The principle is it's more than just a pure heart. It's a pure heart wholly committed to God. And what we see of him in his own wholeheartedness is who he is and nothing else. It's very, very hard to deal with anybody that's wholly committed to something. You can try. I'm talking about somebody that's bought in. You can be talking to and you realize there's no words going in. No words going in whatsoever. But I'm here to tell you something. I wholly follow God. Say that out loud. I want to wholly follow God. It's him. It's just him. It's him. I love that. He must attain a pure heart physically because tests will come. And two things that makes your heart pure is the fire, which your test, and the pruning, which your test. Because as much as I love flowers and plants, and I get it honestly from my mom, and she would always say, Dwayne, if the leaf is not green, if it's yellow, you're overwatering. If it's brown, you underwatered. And the plant is giving all of this energy to this leaf that's defective. She said, cut it off. And the plant, right, Nelson, will come back stronger. Now, once it's been cut up and pruned, it looks bad. It looks like this is a sad plant until the next season when it's beautiful and fruit is everywhere. Pruning seems difficult. The Bible says No discipline feels good at that time. You want to be, we're all ministers. Everybody say we're all ministers. In a Levitical sense, the principle is if you want to minister to others, you must make sure your heart is pure, because if it isn't, you'll pollute their heart. Who you let in here is how well you're going to be able to serve God. That's why I can't join myself. I can love everybody. Got no prejudice against anybody, but I can't join myself to somebody who has a different heart. Pure heart. Ethically, by the power of the Holy Spirit, train your heart to be free of corrupt, sinful desires and guilt. Deal with the mess. Become genuine, authentic, blameless. Jeremiah 17, 10, 11. The heart is deceitful. And you know, I've always wondered about that. I did a little study on that. And it says it's deceitful because it's polluted. The heart is deceitful because it's not working like a heart's supposed to work. I was in the hospital yesterday with one of my great friends, family members, Gloria's sister. And we were just praying that the heart would work right. Because if it works right, we're home free. The heart is polluted above all. And then it says it is extremely, King James, which you all quote, is wicked. Who can know it? Is that you, John? Was that you, John? Okay, I got you. Bottom line is we're extremely sick. The heart becomes sick, so it can't do what it was designed to do. So how does God test your heart? Let me tell you three quick things. One, he gives you choices. Your choice will define where your heart is. Lot didn't care about Abraham. He just wanted to get his sheep down to Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was green and where it was wonderful. When he blesses you, what does your heart do? I'm just going to tell you something. You want the blessings to continue? Let your heart be one that just never quits being thankful. How many of you still, when you walk past a certain part of town or you drive past something, you go, that was where God blessed me. That's where God turned that situation around. You see somebody and you realize y'all used to be enemies and now you're friends, and you go, you see what God did? How many of you know it's been so long since God's done something? Thank him for what he's done. That's a perfect heart. Rehearse blessings. Man, I love to do that. I forget where we were, a leadership meeting or something, Pastor Josh, and you started rehearsing all the things that God has done for us at Hope this year. And I was just going, man, that's incredible. Could I hear that one more time? Because we're so easily hear the bad reports, which don't build faith. It's time to hear the good report. Stay in God's word. Acknowledge your sin. Ask for forgiveness. And let your heart become pure and pure. What I want to do here at the end is heart surgery. That repenting is really not an act. It's really a lifestyle. And people say, well, how have you and Pastor Sonny been married 49 years? It's because I know how to repent quickly. I'll see that I've done something that wasn't right. And I'll say, even before you say anything, that was my bad. That was on me. And then she is so gracious to forgive. What's natural? Somebody does something wrong to you, you start, one, being angry about it. Two, you're meditating on it, and anything you meditate on, you magnify. And then then you start thinking about revenge. What can I do that'll hurt them as bad as they hurt me? That's not the way of the Lord. The old rule was an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. You hit me in the mouth, I'm going to hit you in the mouth. Jesus said, pure heart, pray for your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. There's a thing in your brain called neural pathways that when you've thought some way, a certain way, so long, when anything happens, you just go to that way of thinking. The problem is not many of us have good faith neural pathways. We have some long-standing fear pathways. Here we go again. You believe in Murphy's Law more than God's law. So today, eyes are closed. We're in this series, Pure Faith.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.